the Lord. It's good to see y'all here in the sanctuary this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Something Beautiful.
Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. But He made something beautiful of my Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my life to
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Well, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Free! Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. And please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Thank you, brother. Well, spring break week, just a few chickens in here tonight, right? Just a few of us on spring break. Uh-huh. Yeah, we are on spring break. Normally, the all of the kids' stuff is not going on this week, but since we've not had it for so many weeks, I think they decided to just stay the course and have Awanas and youth and all that tonight. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you folks for showing up. Just a few of us here. Those of you watching online, there may be more watching online than there are here tonight. And that's all right. We'll add it together and multiply it, and that'll be a good thing. Amen. Well, let's think about some prayer needs this evening. I know we've got Sharon Fuller that was just released from the hospital. And let's see here, she was having some blood pressure issues and some dizziness, is that correct? And they couldn't find anything wrong with her. I'm going to send her to a neurologist. So we want to continue to pray for Gene's wife, Sharon Fuller, Gene and Sharon. So we want to be in prayer for Sharon tonight. Other prayer requests, what you got? Anybody? Yeah, in the back, okay. Okay, Monty, and these are his dialysis numbers? Okay, all right. This is the young man needing a kidney transplant. Okay. Monty. All right, Bobby, you had your hand up as well. Angie. Okay. Yep. What's Angie's last name? Adams, that's right. Okay. All right. Okay. So Jack is Angie's brother? Okay. So what's Jack's last name? All right. Oh, I'm with you now. Okay, I'm tracking. He's married. He's married up. All right. Very good. All right. Jack and Angie. Angie's got the bladder cancer. Second round. Second time through it. All right. What else? Yeah, John. Yeah, the 18th, isn't that Monday? 22nd. Did they move it? Was it the 18th? Pre-op on the 18th. That's what? Is that today? Tomorrow. All right. Okay. Surgery on the 22nd. You said Monday, March 22nd. Okay. And this is on the ankle again, right? Is that left hand ankle? Left hand? Yeah. I think it's left hand. Left ankle. Okay. All right. What else? Yes, back there. All right. Okay, what went on now? Home health care. Okay, I'm with you. Okay. Okay, they're going to do therapy for him there in the... Okay, great. Yep, right. Got to cross the T's, dot the I's. Paperwork. Yeah, John, you got another one? Fred Nan Redman. Yeah, I heard that as well. Okay, Socorro Hermes. Health. Issues. Yes. Okay, what's the little girl's name? Okay, Dorothy's daughter. COVID. Amen. All right, we'll pray for that. We have not seen an uptick in, as far as I'm aware. You may have some statistics I'm not aware of, but as far as what I was watching on the news this afternoon, Texas has not seen an uptick in cases. Now, there are other states in the Union, in the United States of America, that are seeing an uptick. I don't want to get it wrong. Well, I want to say it was Michigan. Well, they said it's rocking and rolling up there. They have an almost like another wave. Cases are way up. So, still going on, isn't it, right? Okay. Dorothy's daughter, 15 years of age. COVID not doing well. What else? Unspokens. Okay. Devant, good to have you with us tonight. Amen. Visiting with us on... Okay, amen, brother. I'm like an old hog. An old hog finding an acorn every now and then. Amen. I got it right. I got it right. Amen, Brother Devant. Okay. Devant's visiting with us. You brought your son to youth? That's correct. That's great. Good to have y'all tonight. Anything else? Are y'all getting hot? Nope, about right? Okay, well, all right, we'll leave it off and I'll sweat. I don't mind. I'm going to take a bath either way. Amen. I'm going to take a bath before I go to bed either way. So it don't matter to me. All right, let's have a word of prayer. We'll get on down the road here. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you tonight, Lord, in just a concert of prayer and bearing one another's burdens and lifting these prayer needs and concerns up. First of all, we just praise you for this day. What a beautiful day it was. We thank you for the rain this morning. And Lord, just the sun that busted through the clouds, gorgeous. And Lord, the drier air out there right now, we'll be begging for that come August around here, Lord. So we just revel in it. Looking forward to a cool morning in the morning and then some really cool mornings coming, Lord. We thank you for the seasons. They're short here, but we thank you for them. And Lord, we just thank you for your creation. We thank you for all the beauty of it. Lord, even all the dust on the cars and all the tree pollen and everything else, Lord, it just lets us know that things are getting ready to get really green and really alive around here. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for all that that's going on. We thank you most of all for you loving us and for extending mercy to us and grace. And, Lord, that ultimate sacrifice on Calvary's cross, Lord, taking our place and, Lord, just shedding that blood to cover our sin, to make a way for us to you for all eternity. We praise you and thank you for that. We're always thankful, daily thankful, sometimes hourly thankful for our salvation, Lord. We just can't thank you enough for saving us and for calling us and for bringing us into the fold. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we know you're the great physician. And Lord, we've got many that are hurting and needing help and are struggling physically, emotionally, and even some, Lord, that are struggling spiritually that are not necessarily on this prayer list tonight. But Lord, as we think about these that are struggling physically, we lift them up to you by name. And Lord, we just pray your hand upon them. Pray that you bring healing to them, that you give their doctors, their physicians, Lord, their caregivers, you just give them wisdom and discernment on how to best treat them. And Lord, that you would... You would just deliver some folks here as we lift them up to you tonight. We pray for Miss Sharon, Lord, and we pray for this high blood pressure issue, and then she turns around and has low blood pressure, and then they try to get it all balanced out with medication, too much medication, not enough medication. Lord, we pray for that cardiologist that might be able to just get the thing right, get it all lined out, get her diet right, get her meds right, and Lord, get her back a little quality of life, being able to go through the day without having these ups and downs in her blood pressure. We pray for this neurologist that she's going to, Lord. We pray that might reveal something or help something, Lord. We just lift that situation up to you. We lift up Monty to you again, Lord, and we're praying for his dialysis and, Lord, that his body would just be able to withstand that. It's a difficult process for people that are in kidney failure. And, Lord, we just pray that... He might be that guy that gets a new lease on life somebody matches, and he gets bumped up on that transplant list. Lord, we pray you keep him healthy, you keep him well, you keep him keep his spirits up. Lord, help him keep his head up as he goes forward and continuing on into his life. And Lord, we just pray as he undergoes this dialysis that, Lord, there would be some hope there that he would get that kidney. He would get that transplant that he so desperately needs. We lift up Angie to you tonight. Lord, we pray you give her the grace and the mercy, and Lord, give her what she needs to withstand what her body is going through. Again, this bladder cancer, second time, second round. Lord, we pray you give her appetite. We pray that, Lord, she would just be so hungry to eat. And Lord, she would just put on weight. Lord, help her. And Lord, we pray that everything looks good to her. And Lord, she would eat it. If it's not moving, she would get it. And God, we pray that fast food, any kind of food, Lord, would just get that down in that body and bring nourishment and sustenance to her. And Lord, we know that cancer patients, most of them die because of starvation. And Lord, we lifting her up and praying that that not happen to her. Be with her husband, Lord. Be with Jack. And we pray that nothing else would come against their household at this time. And Lord, you would just be in the midst, bringing them comfort. And Lord, giving them good days and giving them good memories as they go through this situation together. We lift up Miss Pat to you tonight. We're praying for her surgery, Lord, coming up on Monday, March 22nd. We pray that this would be the last one on this ankle, that this would finally do the deal, finally bring relief, finally get it right. And Lord, we pray that all the scar tissue and the trauma that she's had to this ankle over the years, Lord, we just pray that that's able to be cleaned up. And Lord, she's just able to get on down the road and have a better prognosis of mobility and getting around and no pain. And Lord, we just pray this is the orthopedic procedure to end all orthopedic procedures on that ankle. Lord, we pray for Brother Harold tonight, Lord, and we pray for his recovery these next 6 weeks with home health care, with physical therapy, with all of the evaluation. Lord, we just pray that you give him what he needs, help him with his diabetes, help him, Lord, just with his attitude, help him with his spirit of want to and going to do it. And Lord, we just pray you give him that fight, give him that want it. And Lord, I just pray that he makes some great strides over the next 6 weeks. Fred and Ann Redmond, Lord, we continue to pray for their health and their different issues and their different struggles, Lord. I pray that you comfort them, bring healing to them, watch over them, Lord. And thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for their prayers that they pray for me and the prayers they pray for this church, the prayers they pray for others in the congregation. We love them, and Lord, we just pray you might touch them. Same with Miss Socorro, Lord. Thank you for her being a warrior of prayer, and Lord, just being an encourager with cards. And Lord, we pray that you would just honor her service and her ministry, Lord, and bring healing to her body and just help her, Lord. And look forward to seeing all these folks soon and very soon as we continue to get inoculated. And Lord, we just continue to build herd immunity in the population. Looking forward to the day when many of these folks can come back to us. Lord, we lift up Stephanie's co-worker's daughter to you tonight, Dorothy's daughter, 15 years of age, struggling with COVID, and many here can attest to the struggle of it and the can't breathe with it, and just the panic that enters one's mind when, Lord, you know, you got to go back to the doctor, you got to go back to the ER the second or even the third time. And Lord, we just pray that she would begin to, her body would begin to respond appropriately and would not over-respond, and Lord, there wouldn't be that huge inflammation response in her lungs. And Lord, we pray certainly she would not be hospitalized. But Lord, we pray you just calm her and Dorothy's spirits, and Lord, just help them with their anxiety. And Lord, we pray that here in a few weeks she would have the majority of this behind her and she would be on the road to healing. We do lift up the unspokens tonight to you, Lord, those that have them. Lord, we're thankful that we can lay them down and give them over to you, Lord. And I pray that we would trust in your sovereignty. We would rejoice in the fact that you're in control and that, Lord, you do bring reconciliations, and Lord, you do bring repentance, and you do bring people back around, and you do bring relationships back together, and Lord, you are still in the business of saving folks, and Lord, people do still turn their lives back around to you, and Lord, all of those things that these unspokens represent, we just lay them back at your feet, and we thank you for hearing us and for making intercession for us when we really don't know how or what to pray. We prayed for so long for some of these things that we just don't know what else to say. And Lord, so we just turn it over to you, and we just ask that you might make intercession on our behalf. And we thank you for that. We know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you do that for us. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We praise you for that. Lord, we continue to pray for our government. We lift up our president tonight. We pray for his cabinet, Lord. We just pray that you would lead God and direct him and our government, Lord. We pray for our troops, pray for their safety, all of those men and women protecting freedom around the world. Watch over them, Lord. Give them safety. And then, Lord, we always want to pray for these doctors, these first responders, Lord, these folks that are dealing every day. Every day they're dealing with a pandemic. Lord, as different states loosen up their mandates and their requirements, these folks are still having to wear all of the PPE, and they're still having to deal with people not dying from this. And Lord, we just pray that you strengthen them, you undergird them, you give them the grace and the mercy to extend that grace and mercy to the people that they care for and that they treat. Thank you for these wonderful ministers of health, Lord, that you have called into the medical field to help us and treat us when we struggle with this kind of stuff. Lord, I pray you bless them, that you multiply their efforts, that you certainly multiply their rest, Lord. I pray that you would just so help them, Lord, when they do finally get to rest, that rest would be multiplied, and Lord, they'd just be able to come back fresh and strong and ready to go. But Lord, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. Thank you for your word tonight as we seek to get into it. And Lord, we pray you might speak to us as we Bible study tonight. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. All right, if you have a copy of God's word, we're going to dive off in this thing tonight. Back in the book of Exodus. I was looking over these last five chapters. We finished 34 tonight, which means we've basically we finished 33 and 34, kind of these two chapters kind of run together. And we just have about five, well, we do. We have five chapters left in the book. And so when we get through with the life and times of Moses, we get through with this book study on Exodus, we get through with this great second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we get through with the second book of the Bible, we're going to dive back off into the book of Revelation and finish that bad boy up. We'll have to do some review, of course, because it's been quite a while since we've looked at it. But we'll get that Revelation study going hot and heavy again. And I look forward to finishing that book. That's a great milestone in my ministry to get to finish the only eschatological book in the New Testament, the book of Revelation. But before we can run to that, we got to continue to walk through here the book of Exodus. So I'm in Exodus 34, beginning in verse 29. Those of you watching online, Exodus 34, beginning in verse 29, and we'll take it through verse 35. Do we have anybody watching online? Okay. 10. I figured it would be more than, what do we have here? 4, 7. Yeah, we got about, well, we got one more here than what we got online. All right, I think we got 11 here. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Well, 12. We got two more. Two more here than what we got online. So those of you online, you got to catch up. Amen. We're winning. We got two more than you guys online. All right. So Exodus 34. Does everything have to be a competition? I don't know. I guess it does. 34:29, the Word of God reads here. It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands. See, he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. Notice the capital H-I-M, him speaking with God, in other words. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come near him. I mean, it really shone. I mean, it was really beaming, right? Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers and the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went in to speak with him. Now, basically, we're talking about what? Moses' radiant face. We've been talking about Moses' intercession quite a bit as we've gone through these last two chapters. And more specifically, we've been dealing with his desire, Moses' desire, to see the glory of God. In other words, to see God for who he really is. We talked about how he wanted to see God face to face. Now, that's been the balance of quite a few of our Bible studies here in chapter 34 and 35. We ended, if you'll remember, last week's Bible study talking about the two sides of God and how the two sides come perfectly together on the cross. We'll deal with that as we end this Bible study tonight as we say goodbye to Exodus chapter 33 and 34. But what we were basically sharing last week and where we're going to end up tonight, God's wrath and judgment, his wrath and judgment, are satisfied where? They're satisfied in the death of a perfect sacrifice so that God's love, who was the perfect sacrifice, everybody? Jesus, Calvary's cross, right? They are satisfied in the death of a perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, so that God's love and mercy can be extended, if you will, to fallen humanity. So that's how we kind of ended, and we're going to be in the same spot again as we end tonight. But in the midst of all that, Moses is praying, and the two sides of God coming together, and this wonderful testimony. In the midst of all that comes this strange incident of Moses' glowing, or Moses' radiant face. As we read, when Moses came down from the mountain, his face was a beaming. His face was radiant. He had this transferred glory on him from being in the midst of Almighty God, per Exodus 34:29. Moses' face was so bright. How bright was it, Pastor? It was so bright that the people could not look at him. So Moses wore a veil over his face until the glory faded away. Now, interestingly, in regards to this incident, you may have seen when you were studying European history or world history, I don't know, you may have seen how this kind of all plays together. What are you talking about? Well, there is, I guess it's amusing now. It probably wasn't amusing back when this all came about, but there's an amusing mistranslation of the Bible that shows up in European art, in that the translators of the Latin Vulgate, they misread the Hebrew here in what we're studying tonight. In Hebrew, the verb for his face shone is karan, on, karan, K, I'll transliterate it. It's K-A-R-O-N, transliterating the Hebrew. But a similar word in Hebrew is Quran. And we think of the Muslim Bible when we hear that, right? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Quran transliterated as K-A-R-A-N. Just slightly different vowel pointings from Quran, ah, with an O, and Quran, A, okay? Well, from Quran with an O, you get shining. With Quran with an ah sound, you get horns. You get horns, yeah. You get horns. So, the translators, Latin Vulgate, translated the verse to say that Moses, after meeting with God, had horns coming out of his head when he came down from the mountain. Now, this misrepresentation explains some of the medieval and Renaissance art, such as Moses, one of Michelangelo's best-known sculptors. Look that up on Google. The figure of Moses has horns because Michelangelo thought that's what Scripture said. But this was an error of just a few little different pointings over that vowel sound in the Hebrew. Moses was not coming down with two horns coming out. He was coming down beaming and radiating the glory, the transferred glory of Almighty God. Now, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as we kind of Bible study through this, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul refers to this incident here in Exodus 34. The Apostle Paul refers to this incident with a threefold illustration. First, I want us to look at verses 7 through 13. Kind of a lengthy little passage here, but let's look at it. Paul's dealing with what we just read in Exodus 34. The Word of God reads in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "So that on the contrary, you should rather..." I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Let me get there. 3 and 7. "But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was," verse 8, chapter 3, 2 Corinthians, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 3, 8, "how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away." First, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, the Apostle Paul, he uses Moses' radiant face to illustrate the veiled and fading glory of the old covenant in contrast with the unveiled and abiding glory of the new covenant. What do we know about the old and the new covenant? Well, old things are passing away, and all things are becoming new in the new covenant, right? The glory of the fullness of the covenant in Jesus Christ overcomes that of the limited revelation in the old covenant. And it will not fade, as did the radiance from Moses' face. That's what he does here in verses 7 through 13. Secondly, in verses 14 through 16, Paul uses this incident in chapter 34 we're looking at to illustrate the veil that seemed to be what? That seemed to be over the hearts and minds of many Jews so that they could not understand or believe the gospel. Look at verses 14 through 16 with me. Verses 14 through 16 of chapter 3, 2 Corinthians. "But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord," notice what it says, "the veil is taken away." What's the point here? Preaching to the Jews today, and they are God's chosen people, but preaching to the Jews for their own personal salvation is still a very difficult thing to do. Very difficult thing to do. Paul experienced this difficulty and said there was a veil over their hearts. third, Paul uses this incident in Exodus 34, 29 through 35. He uses it here in 2 Corinthians in verse 18. Paul uses the incident to illustrate how believers today have been given an unveiled view of Jesus and as a result are being transformed into His likeness by the Holy Spirit's work. Powerful verse here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Let's look at it together. The Word of God reads, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being what? We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, comma, my Bible says, the Spirit," right? The Spirit. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. The people in Exodus here that we've been studying about and reading about, the people in Exodus could not look on the face of Moses, but we can what? We can look on the face of Jesus Christ. Pastor, how in the world can that be? We do that by the Holy Spirit giving us an unveiled view of God in Scripture. Now, do we get all the view? Well, we said we can't have all the view. If we had all the view, we would what? This body wouldn't be able to handle it. But we get all the view we need. We get all the view that sustains us, right? By the Holy Spirit giving us an unveiled view of God in Scripture, just as He gives us an unveiled view of Jesus. Are there more things to know about Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Will we know some more things about Christ and the Godhead and how the Holy Spirit works and what this mystery of the God, will we know it one day? We will know it in totality one day. But praise God, we get to know what we get to know about Jesus. I mean, the healings that we've covered in Matthew's gospel, we cover another one this coming Sunday. The healings that we covered, did Christ heal more than just those folks? Oh, absolutely. If the gospel writers were to have recorded everything that Jesus had done in His ministry, we couldn't what? We couldn't carry the Bible around. It would be too verbose. It would be too full. But what we do need, what we do need to see, what we do need to experience, the person of the Holy Spirit makes sure we have it. See, if we study the Bible, what we're doing tonight, if we study the Bible, what we do when we have our quiet time, if we'll study the Bible, we will find out what Jesus Christ is like. What is Jesus Christ like? Well, He's a merciful guy, isn't He? A loving guy. A guy that wants to serve and sacrifice and help. And as the Holy Spirit blesses this discovery, don't you think that He won't? The person of the Holy Spirit will bless this discovery in your life. He will open our minds and our hearts to understand what Jesus is like and what happens to us as we go through the Word of God and we forget about our pride and we forget about our self-interest and we just want to learn about Jesus. When we do that, we will become increasingly like Him and more reflect His glory. So, with that said, and just a few moments, minutes left here tonight, we bring it all together. Chapter 33 and 34, what have we learned? As we've asked this question before going through these chapters. So what have we learned, preacher, from Exodus 33 and 34? What is the bread we have been digging around and trying to find and hold up for sustenance? What is the bread? What have we learned from these last two chapters, Exodus 33 and 34? I'll give you a few bullet points. Number one, we have learned we need mercy if we are to be saved. Got to have it, mercy. Got to have it, right? We have to remind ourselves constantly of this truth, that we are people that have received mercy and grace and love. Why do we have to constantly be reminded of that? Why do we need to be in the Word and constantly reminded of that? Why do we have to have Bible teachers and preachers tell us constantly? Why do I have to hear it in my own heart and psyche over and over again? Why does it have to be a cathartic point for me to land on each and every day that I am here by God's mercy. Why does it keep coming up? Why do we have to be reminded? Because we don't naturally think that way. That's why we have to be constantly reminded of it. We don't naturally. My flesh doesn't naturally think mercy. My old dead, dying flesh thinks justice. I want to think in a justice mindset. I want to think in, I've earned this, or I did that, or this what I deserve, or I get this or that. We tend to think in terms of justice. And we suppose that we want justice because we think more highly of ourselves than we actually ought to think, right? Or maybe I'm just the only one, right? We think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And thus, we consider ourselves, as I've already mentioned, those of you listening to me online, we consider ourselves to be deserving. Deserving, folks, deserving. We consider ourselves to be deserving. But what will justice minus mercy, what will justice minus grace, what will justice minus these things, what will justice minus mercy do for us? Justice will send us to a place called hell. That's exactly where justice takes us. We need mercy, not justice, from God in order to be saved. That we've got to have it. Israel needed mercy, and they got it, praise God. Moses needed mercy, and he got it, praise God. And we need mercy. Amen? And if you've received it in salvation, kudos for you. What a blessing you've received. Apart from God's mercy, we all perish. It all goes away. Everything. It is the merciful hand of God that sustains us. Now, what have we learned from Exodus 33, 34? We need mercy if we're to be saved. There's a theme going on here. Number two, what have we learned? The good news is that God is a God of mercy, right? Keen sense of the obvious. Real simple here for Pastor Steve. The good news is that God is a God of mercy. He's also a God of justice and wrath. We've covered that. Which is all that we have any right to expect from Him because of our sin, because of our fallen nature. That's all we have a right to expect from Him is justice and wrath. If we stop thinking about ourselves for a moment, if we just think about the world around us, if we just think about all the evil that is in the world that we're living in, we might say, we might really come down on this, we might think that the world most deserves annihilation. It just needs to be snuffed out. It is so evil and reprobate and awful. With all the evil out there, the hand of God should just blot it out. But the very essence of God's nature, the very essence of His nature, is His mercy. In order to find His mercy, we must come to Him through the way He has provided. We all know this, the death of His Son, who? Jesus Christ, right? This is how God puts together His justice and His mercy. Well, preacher, you told us that last time. I'm going to tell you that again. I'm going to tell you that again till it's running out of your ears. Till you know when it's even started to being said or explained, you go, aha, I remember this, I know this, I know this, this is good, I've got to remember this, I've got to hold on to this. This is how God puts together His justice and mercy, the person of Jesus Christ, right? He has to punish sin, that's what He does, but He punishes our sin in who? In the person of Jesus Christ. That's where the punishment lies. If we come to Him on the basis of the death of Jesus Christ, the wrath that we deserve has already been poured out. And so the big praise the Lord moment for us is that God does not turn His back on that aspect of His nature. He is literally, God the Father, is literally glorified in His wrath in punishment of Jesus Christ. His Son, and at the same time, He is glorified in the most marvelous way. God's mercy is revealed in the death of Jesus Christ. There, wrath and mercy come together and join hands. Wrath and mercy come together and join hands. Right? So, what have we learned in Exodus 33, 34? Well, we can appeal to God's mercy. Praise God. We get to appeal to it. God says that He's a merciful God, slow to anger, compassionate, and of great mercy. We can appeal to this aspect of His nature. And finally, what have we learned from Exodus 33 and 34? We can proclaim God's mercy to others. We can proclaim God's mercy to others. God is sovereign in His salvation. He's sovereign in that. He has mercy on whom He wills to have mercy, and has compassion on whom He wills to have compassion. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, God has done what? He has given mankind this thing called free will. He's given mankind a choice. Man has a choice to receive or reject God's free gift of salvation. So He's sovereign, and then there's free will. And so just as mercy and wrath join hands at the cross, God's sovereignty and man's free will join hands in the mystery of the gospel and its proclamation. That's where those two things come together. So we continue to preach the Word. We continue to proclaim the Word. We continue to live the Word. We continue to obey the Word and build the church, all of which is a simple proclamation that undeserved mercy can be found, can be received, and can be enjoyed for all eternity. And mercy is something to enjoy. You didn't deserve it, and you got it. And you didn't just got it for just a split second. You got it, you received it, it's for all eternity, right? You had a beginning, but you have no end. It's a beautiful concept, a beautiful theology, beautiful mind, beautiful God that we serve, amen, that we worship, amen? All right. Let's close with a word of prayer. We'll let you on down the road here. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, Lord, and as we finish these two chapters here in the book of Exodus over these last several weeks. It's been a while, Lord, to get through these two, 34 and 35. We praise You and we thank You, God, for what You do and how You do it. And the mercy that You bestow upon us and pour out upon us. And Lord, it's undeserved, and we thank You for that. We can't earn it. Lord, we deserve Your wrath, and we deserve judgment. But Lord, You give us something we don't deserve because of a loving heart, a loving mind. And it's hard to comprehend it all. It's hard to receive it all, Lord. We just have to take it by faith, based on the Word of God, based on the truth that we have before us. We thank You, Lord, that we can be in this position with You, a saved position, a position that means we're going to spend eternity with You in heaven, a position that means we have a relationship with You right here, right now. Lord, there are others that we will come across this week, and others that we know, and others that we have relationship with, Lord, and they're not in the same situation. They're not in the same spot when it comes to Your mercy. In fact, they need to realize. They need to have a cathartic moment of their own to know and appreciate the mercy of God, to receive the wonderful gospel message, to experience in their own hearts, in their own lives, this thing that the Bible talks about of salvation, of being saved, of being made whole and being made put together, having that Spirit come to life. Lord, we thank You for the opportunities to share with people and the opportunities to love people closer to the gospel and the opportunities to sow that gospel seed. And Lord, I pray they would see the mercy of the Lord in our face as we radiate the very image of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we find ourselves in the Word and worshiping together and, Lord, singing songs of faith and praying to You and praising You, Lord, may we just continue to move one step, a half a step, another step, Lord, closer to being in the image of Jesus Christ. For Your glory, for Your honor, for the building of Your kingdom, for the salvation of the lost. Lord, thank You for Your wonderful plan. Thank You for the power of it and the majesty of it and the mercy of it. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, you guys dismissed. Have you a great, what, rest of your evening. Amen. Right, it's going to get, oh, it is dark out there. Looky there. Back on yet? Are we back live streaming? All right, you folks on live stream, you got to pay close attention, amen. We've got a wedding shower coming this Saturday. A wedding shower. Is it a wedding shower? Is that what it's called? Bridal shower. It's a bridal shower. And I'm already married, so it's not for me. For my daughter, Aubrey Lee. So what time? 3 o'clock and go until whenever you're done. And meeting in the gym, going to social distance, going to wear a mask, all that jazz. Going to have food. Going to be fun. All right, so ladies' time, big ladies' time. All right, anything else? Did I get it? All right. All right, you can turn me off now, brother. Thank y'all for listening.